Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a calm, mundane conversation to help you, you know, relax and hopefully find your way to sleep. I'm your host, Marco Timpano, and joining me...
is me, Amanda Barker.
And Amanda, I wanted to talk to you about approach.
Approach?
Yeah, so for example, how do you approach a magazine, let's say?
Oh, well, you know, it's interesting that you say that or ask that. I didn't, of course, know what was coming today.
Right. And I don't know how I got the idea of approach, but there's two things that I want to know how you approach. And one is magazines.
Well, I actually will start answering that by telling you about my mother, Valerie. She loved magazines.
Still does.
Still does, actually, yeah. And as a kid, I would see her magazines coming in to the mail all the time. And
That's my coffee cup hitting the saucer. Sorry about that.
My mother would always approach a magazine starting from the back first.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I'm not sure what the connection is in this, but she always said it was because she was left-handed.
Okay.
I don't know. I usually get very excited when I see the cover of a magazine.
Yes, you do.
Because I've inherited this love of magazines for a few reasons. From my mother, but also from my time in Korea. That's when magazines really became a treat for me.
I see.
Because at the time...
You're talking about English magazines. Magazines, in English, right?
So when I lived in Korea, and this is now 22 years ago, where I was in Korea, English magazines, English reading material wasn't super easy to come by. It involved a trip into the city, which was Seoul, and the trip to the Kyobo bookstore, which was the one bookstore that had English reading material.
Oh, wow.
And so an English magazine, whether it was British or American, you really couldn't get Canadian ones at that time, would easily cost like $20. And it was a real treat. And once you were finished with it, you handed it around to all your friends. If I did a weekend trip, that In-Flight magazine would have the same kind of importance.
So the magazine
us.
That you got on the plane?
Yes.
Is that, okay.
Yeah, that would be really exciting to come home and bring home a United magazine or something
sure.
like that. So it's different now. In Korea, I think there's a lot more English material in general there, especially where I used to live. But... I think because of that, I have this love for magazines. So in terms of my approach, usually I look at the cover, think about, oh, okay, that's an article I want to get to. And then I kind of just open it up. I often will start, sometimes look at the table of contents, but usually I'll start at the middle and then work my way around.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned your mother, who is my mother-in-law, Valerie. I love
she
going
is.
To see her because of the fact that I get to peruse her magazines that I would otherwise not see.
It's true.
Including Southern Living.
One of her favorites is Southern Living, yes.
Southern Cuisine.
Yep.
AARP.
Yeah.
And what are the other magazines that she has?
She does a lot of decor magazines.
Yes.
And then because they're retirees in Florida, even this year they've had very little to do. So because they're retirees in Florida, they do read a lot.
Yes, they do.
That's a big activity for them is
reading.
They've
always read a lot, though.
Yeah, and we as kids read a lot. We
sure.
were always encouraged to read. If there was a book series I liked. Like I got deeply into Nancy Drew when I was probably 10, 11. They very much encouraged it. They would go out. They didn't wait for a birthday or a Christmas. They would go out and say, okay, let's go buy you that book, whatever the
Archaeology
next
book. Archaeology Today.
So what I was going to say is that those are my dad's magazines
right.
that we have gotten him. So Money Magazine, Archaeology Magazine.
Flea Market Magazine or something.
That one I like. I think I'm going to have to subscribe to that. I picked that up the other day and thought, ooh, I need to subscribe to this. Yeah, he has a different Flea Market Magazine. And then the Smithsonian Magazine.
Oh, that's right.
He loves that one. Yeah.
Doesn't he have like an angler magazine, some sort of fishing or sailing?
Sailing.
Yes. Sailing
that probably
magazine.
Was me too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to know what to get anyone's parents. So magazines are the gift that gives all year round.
For sure. For sure. So now I want to ask.
How do you approach magazines is what I wanted to ask you.
That's a great question. I think I look at the cover and see if there's articles that I like that are going to appear in there, or the front page, you know, the page that gives you the list, the index, if you will. And then I will flip through the entire magazine to see if there's any eye-catching photos that'll cause me to pause and look there.
Okay.
And then I'll go back and I'll read the articles that may have caught my eye in the index.
Okay.
And then if there's short ones, I'll tend to really glance at those.
Okay.
And then usually, if you're reading, I'll ask you to tell me what you just read.
You like to read over my shoulder.
That's the best way to read.
Which not everybody would love, but I don't mind it.
Yeah. Or I get you to tell me what you just read. That's my favorite way to magazine is to have someone else reiterate what they just read, which sometimes drives people crazy.
Yeah. But, I don't always need to tell you about, you know, tips to protect your joints or whatever.
But I love them. Oh, another magazine that I love is the Costco magazine. It's one of my favorite magazines.
Now, I wonder if a magazine that is selling one product counts as a magazine.
Well, first of all, it sells many products.
Well,
secondly,
yes.
It does have articles in there that I do appreciate.
I just wonder that with the AARP magazine. I mean, ultimately, it's everything. I get the CAA magazine, which is like AAA.
Yeah, which is the automotive magazine for anyone who's listening in parts of countries that don't have CAA or AAA. It is... If you have that service, if you are found on the roadside and you have a problem with your car or you can't start your car, you just call up this organization and they will come.
They must have in Europe something
I'm sure.
That resembles it. I don't know.
But we have listeners all over, so who knows if in the Philippines or in Bahrain they have that. So I just want to clarify it for our listeners because they'll be like, oh, I'm not sure.
I don't remember a AAA when I was in the Philippines.
Right,
but,
so there you go.
But yeah, it's great if you've locked your keys out of the car. That's not really a problem these days. But when I first joined, again, 20 years ago, my good friend Lois, who had to use CAA this week, she said... As soon as you get a car, even if you don't have a car, actually, she had me on it before I even had a car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was driving company cars.
Oh, I see.
And she said, for the $100 or whatever it is a year, get it, because if you lock your keys in the car even once, you'll be happy that you have it. You have someone to call who will then just show up and help you out. And she needed it this week. She needed her battery. Getting your battery started is a real thing in Canada, right?
So I guess that's another approach you have, how to approach dealing with situations that might arise with your vehicle.
I mean, it's like extended insurance.
Sure.
Which is funny because I don't always buy the insurance policies.
Right.
But I'm the person that would. It's only because of a lot of learning and cost figuring that I don't. But I'm certainly the person that, you know, in my 20s, if they said, do you want the extended warranty, I would sign up for all of them.
So what is your approach to learning? And I hate to provoke you with that, but I'm just curious, what is your approach?
I am not by nature the most organized person. And so because of that, I try very hard to be organized.
Okay. I'm very organized because I'm not an organized person. And I tend to use a lot of highlighters
you
and
do.
Colors and squiggly font.
One of your other podcasts, Eat and Drink, I know Ali is always teasing you about your highlighters and your highlighters.
Highlighters are meant to be used, and so I use them.
You have a bag everywhere you go of highlighters.
I do. It's right here, too.
Yeah.
It's buried under all these markers, if you can see.
It's buried under other highlighters.
Kind of.
My approach to learning is a great question, and I don't know that I have an answer for it. I'll throw it back to you. Do you have an approach to learning?
Here's my approach. If I enjoy what I'm learning, I'm all in.
Right.
If what I'm learning is not for me, then I will just work my way through it. In other words, I will just sort of repeat things back to the to the workshop leader or the teacher in this case that they want to hear to make it seem like I'm listening, but really I'm just distracted in other things.
So my approach, I think, I'm always going to be an immersive person. I want to be in all in. That's who I am and how I am, and I come by it naturally. My family has shades of that. I know my uncle said to me once, he's like, I'm all in or I'm all out. And he would become an expert in one thing for like 5 years. The best saxophone player, the best stockbroker in his case. And then be bored of it. The best basketball coach.
Right.
So for me, I see shades of that in myself, but I don't know that I want to be that person, because I do believe that slow and steady wins the race. And my biggest accomplishments have been the slow burns.
Right.
So that said, I am that person by nature. So I do want to immerse myself in the material as much as possible. I tend to want to ask a lot of questions. My approach to learning often is, this is a weird word to use, but adversarial.
Yes, I see that in you.
And what that means is, you know, I'm constantly, to use the word you use, provoking. If I hear something and I don't fully agree with it, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, but what about this and what about that? So I tend to provoke. I tend to pick away at something. It helps me understand more. I think it comes, I have that approach for a few reasons, but one, I was a debater in high school. I was a very good debater at that time. So
she still is a good debater. We debated today,
but I don't win things.
The difference between pencil crayon and colored pencil.
Which, by the way, is a Canadian-American debate, because they're the same things.
Pencil crayon is what we say in Canada.
And we call them colored pencils.
I'm curious to know what you call them. So if you can send us a little message, whether it be on Twitter or Instagram or even an email, we'll get back to the pencil crayon, colored pencil debate.
Debate. I don't remember what I was saying. Oh, I ask questions. So I tend to, I want to see if you hold up a fact, or let's just pick another noun. If you hold up an apple in the light, I want to see every angle of that apple. I don't take it at face value. I need to test that theory. I need to look at all the things, because in debating, that's what we were asked to do.
Sure.
And often with a topic.
And I'll just bite that apple.
It would be, you know, be it resolved that commercials on TV should be abolished or something. And so, you know, your first instinct, you have a first instinct that is, no, that's wrong. Or, yes, that's right. I agree with it. You have your natural instinct. And what a debater does is they look at all sides of it, so that you really, and at the end, if you're still in the same where you started, you may be where you started with, or maybe you aren't, but at least you know you fully developed your ideas about this thing. So that is how I approach learning, if I'm really truthful about it. I don't know that I've ever sat and thought about it like that, but I do know that I do that. And that's where I go. When people say, what are your thoughts? I immediately look for the things that I don't understand, the holes, the loopholes, the problems.
Sure.
And I go for those.
Okay, so turning things a little bit on its head. How do you approach a bath? I recently read that people who take baths tend to fall asleep quicker.
Really?
Yeah, so I was curious.
I will fall asleep after one, for sure, quicker.
That's what they say, yeah.
Yeah, I do. But my problem is, or not problem, my thing is, I love them so much that I don't always wait to the end of the day. Like, if it was a day where I was out at the office all day, working, doing various things that I do, then a bath is my perfect way to come home and unwind. If I have dinner in an oven or something, then I'll get that started and go up and take the bath, have dinner, and then go to bed. But sometimes it's I have dinner and then take the bath.
Now, when you approach a bath, do you approach it with Epsom salts or those bally things that fizz in the water? What are they
called?
Bath
bombs?
Yeah.
I will say a bath helps me digest.
Oh.
That's a thing.
Okay.
If I've had a big meal, I want to take a bath because I do feel like it helps me digest. I don't know why that is, but I know they always said don't swim after you've eaten or something, but I don't find that. I find water helps me digest. How do I approach a bath? I like to get into the tub right at the beginning.
So before it's full?
Yes.
So you fill in
the
tub?
I like it filling with me in the tub for a lot of reasons.
I see.
I don't like to draw a bath and step into it. That's not who I am.
Okay.
The anticipation of the joy of the bath is as good as the bath itself.
I see.
And so ever since I was a child, I like to get into a big old cold tub and then start the water so that it feels warm on my toes first. And then eventually I know I'll be warm all over.
Wow. That's fascinating.
I know. Now, it's weird because most people like to draw it and then get in.
Sure. And what about those things like Epsom salt, bath salts?
I'll add those, but none of those, in terms of enjoyment for the bath.
They don't factor
in? Those things only mean that I'm committed to a long bath.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So if I have a bath bomb, I better enjoy the water. I don't want to just throw a bath bomb in and then 15 minutes later get out or 20 minutes later get out. Because I've turned the water a weird shade of orange or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, from bath, let's find out your approach.
How do you approach a bath?
I approach it by turning the tap on and taking a shower. I'm more of a shower person. I like to take long showers.
I can't imagine living without a bathtub. I have done it, but I always do it for a limited time.
Mm-hmm.
When we were working in Vancouver, we had a shower only.
Oh, that's right.
But we had a hot tub outside.
I forgot about that.
It was a shared accommodation, so it wasn't like I was in it all the time. But
right.
Knowing we had it made a difference. And then on the cruise ship, we had a tiny little shower between the two of us. And sometimes I'll sit down in the shower just to pretend it's a bath.
No, I'm more of a shower person.
Mm.
Baths, I can take or leave.
If this house had no bathtub, would you be okay?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, I only like to hop in the bath if I've been cold.
Mm-hmm.
So from shoveling snow or, you know, being outside for a great period of time, I'll take a bath.
Yeah, nothing will get me warm like a bath.
Yeah.
There are tubs that you can buy if you only have a shower. So if I only had a shower,
yes,
I would buy one of those portable, I don't know how good they are, but portable pop-up tubs.
What? Like, I've never heard of this.
I'll show you one. It's a big plastic thing.
Okay.
You can get it on wherever you get things.
Right.
But it folds into a flat thing, kind of like a baby tub.
Okay.
And then you can pop it open
and
it
expands. How do you get the water out of it?
You drain it in the shower.
Oh, so you put it in the shower.
Yeah, or somewhere you can get the water into it anyway. And then you can get into it and then you drain it.
Oh, I didn't.
You just need the storage for the big plastic thing.
I see. Yeah. I see. Speaking of shoveling snow, how do you approach those winter activities, like taking snow off your car or shoveling snow or things like
that?
By
dreaming of the sun.
I see. That's a good way.
I like to have the car going. If all things are equal, then right. I'll have the car going for a while before I go out there. That tends to loosen up the ice underneath. If you're not used to shoveling out your car, which unfortunately for us we are, you can't just get the snow off if there's ice underneath, which there often is. Because if the car was warm and it was snowing, all of that snow is going to first melt onto the car,
right?
Cover it in water, and then it's going to freeze back up again.
So you have a layer
of
ice.
You often with snow will have a layer of ice underneath.
Unless your car was cold at the time of the snowfall.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't necessarily have ice unless it was wet snow off the top.
Which sometimes it is.
Yeah.
About half the time I would say it is for us. So to scrape that ice, you need a good scraper. But, it's better if the car is warm first.
Is it called a scraper? What is that thing called?
Ice scraper, yeah.
But what about the telescopic one we have that is a brush on one side, scraper
on
the other?
Still an ice scraper, yeah. You brush off the snow, uncover the ice, and then you have to try and get under the ice to pry it off.
Mm-hmm.
again, it's better if it's warm because the ice that's been warmed is going to pop out.
So quicker. you'll actually turn on the heat on the inside of the car to help heat up the windows.
And defrost the windows if I can. But, I mean, you don't always have that luxury.
No.
We often don't. I mean, because that would mean leaving the keys in our car, which is not where we are, a good choice. Because people all the time see cars that are started in driveways. And
yeah, but that's only if you're going to start your car, you should be near your car at the time of...
You should, but...
Some people aren't.
Some people can start it with the doors locked.
Right.
If you have a fancy car, we just don't.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. What about shoveling the walkway, driveway, way of any sort?
My approach is to let you do it.
That's right.
So tell us about your approach in shoveling.
Well, it's a great question. Where does one start? So usually if I'm shoveling our front, let's mm-hmm. say, I'll shovel a path for myself from my front door mm-hmm. down the steps to the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do the sidewalk first.
Okay.
And I'll sort of work my way towards, I like to do patterns
mm-hmm.
and straight line patterns, mm-hmm. generally speaking. So I won't do the whole half moon scoop. That's not for me.
Not the half moon scoop.
I'm not a half moon scooper. I prefer the straight ahead and plow method, right? So I'll walk straight. I'll push my shovel straight. When the shovel is full,
mm-hmm.
I will lift the snow from the shovel and empty it into a pile, most likely in front of our house,
mm-hmm.
and then continue that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do that all the way, and then I will go back and make sure it's very clear, because sometimes you'll leave little patches or there's this type of snow that will pack underneath what you've just shoveled
uh-huh.
and leave a layer of packed snow. I don't know how to describe that for anyone who hasn't experienced it, but...
Like the icy, crusty snow?
No, like a packed, hard snow.
Okay.
So you have to kind of pry at it with the shovel.
Right.
So then I'll clear that, and then I will go back from whence I came
mm-hmm.
and clear the steps, because I feel like if you approach the steps from the bottom versus the top, you get a better clean of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
You just do. I feel like from the top...
Wouldn't the argument be start at the top so you're not treading over old ground?
That's because I shovel as I leave. So I leave myself a pathway of shoveled, and then I go from the bottom to the top, and I remove the rest on either side.
Oh, so you do the pre-shovel.
I do a pre-shovel followed by a fine-tuned shovel. The reason I say it's easier from the bottom is because you can really get in the side corners of the steps
mm-hmm.
easier from below than above.
I see.
Then what I'll do, once all that is done, depending on what our snowfall looks like,
mm-hmm.
or if there has been ice on the bottom what I've shoveled, because there can be icy snow or ice if, once again, the snow has fallen wet
mm-hmm.
and then frozen there. I will take a de-icer of some sort. And usually we don't use salt anymore. We use a de-icer that is good for the environment, or good or not harmful,
better,
I should say, better for the environment. And I will throw it on our steps and on the sidewalk so no one slips as they approach mm-hmm. our home. And that's my approach to shoveling.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say that my approach to the car situation is similar to yours, but I always ensure that if I'm going to be clearing off the snow of the car, that our windshield wiper is off.
Yeah.
Because it'll freeze too, and you don't always do that. And
I didn't ever do that, but I think people who aren't used to this type of winter that we have wouldn't understand what you mean. So what he means is he pulls the windshield wipers when he leaves the car at night, say. He pulls the windshield wipers forward so they're jutting straight out perpendicular to the car.
In other words, they are no longer functional as windshield wipers.
They're not on the glass in any way.
They jet straight up.
Yeah, they're not touching the glass in any way. They're just like little arrows.
Yeah, little arrows pointing straight up. Yeah,
that's so, but to do that's a good idea, a good approach, because what you can't do when you have ice and snow like we have, even though you are wont to do it, you get in your car, maybe you've had it going, maybe you've checked your messages or whatever, so you've sat in a snow-covered, and I've been guilty of this many times, but you sit in your snow-covered vehicle that's encased in snow, and you think, okay, it'll just warm up a bit. I'll just hit the defrost a bit, and then I can use the windshield wipers to wipe the snow away. It's not a good plan because most often they can't. The snow's too heavy for us anyway. We're not talking about a light dusting. Right. We're talking about real winter.
The windshield wiper is adhered to the window with ice.
With ice is more than, I would say, at least half the time's the case.
Yes.
So you cannot do that. Unless it's a light snow, then you can.
Because if you do, you will damage your windshield wiper.
Yeah.
Because it will try
and
to...
And I have.
Yes.
I have mm-hmm. damaged it. Because it's so much easier to hit a button and hope that it might work than to go out, get yourself covered in snow. Because that's the other thing. When you have to dig around at a windshield, your arms, you know, obviously you have all your gloves and things on, but you come back into the car completely covered. You're like the abominable snowman. Like, you're covered in snow, which then means you're covered in wet once it melts in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a real thing.
That's why the telescopic scraper is so great.
Yeah, it is.
Because it allows you not to get as covered.
I've seen ads for a circular scraper.
Yes.
They make it look really good and effective in the ads. I don't know if it is, but I would like to try it.
I've seen the ad for a scraper that is heated so that when it touches the
that's a great
the
idea.
Ice, it melts it immediately.
But it feels very technical, like the ice would wipe it out in one. That's the one you don't want to use it because you don't want to break it because you spent $50 on it.
The other thing is you have
a
to
good scraper is from a gas station and you spent $6.
That's right. I think you have to charge that one up for
yeah,
it
no
to be
one's
effective.
Gonna do
no
that.
One's going to do that. Well, thank you, Amanda, for your approach today, because we've come to the end of this podcast. And thank you.
Approaching magazines, baths, and ice scraping.
Yes. Who would have thought?
And learning.
Well, listen, thank you all for joining us. We hope you were able to listen to this episode and sleep.